All right, here's our buddy Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Could you do that, Ray? Could you take one day off? No talking about anything. Just everyone gets along, everyone's happy.
I would be Noodle's information manager on that. I would be right on that. That would be amazing.
Okay.
Wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, think about it. We all wake up in the morning. I'm sure the first couple things we do is, you know, you check emails, you check texts and all that. And then you go on Twitter and you go, okay, what's trending? What are people pissed off about? What are, you know, this happened. Like, it's all it is a laundry list of complaints. Now, some are real world problems. I get that.
Yeah.
But also it's trending. Like I say, the Leafs lose. Sheldon Keefe is trending because people don't like the deployment of his third line. Like, it's enough. They've got 93 points. Move on with life.
Well, somebody told me this term, doom scrolling. It's like you just scroll through Twitter looking for something that really pisses you off.
That's true.
And I'm like, oh my God, that's exactly it. Like, because most of the time you're just going, oh yeah, defenseman's out there or this guy's out there. Oh, here's a really good article. I'd like to read that or something like that. But most of the time it's like, how can one guy, pick anybody, be an expert on 16 different things? Those guys, I go right to mute. I can't stand it anymore.
Oh, there's so many of them too, Ray. So many.
Oh, it's everything. They know everything about golf. They know everything about football. Now they're into politics. Oh, wait a minute. Here comes their thing on the new goalie equipment. Like, Jesus.
Ray, I love the fake outrage guy, and we all know one. There's a bunch in this market. It's just... they're outraged about every single thing in 20 different aspects of life. I just think to myself, there is no way you can care about all of this stuff. No way.
Honestly, I think that one of the best things that I finally got to was I care about almost nothing anymore.
Like, yeah, family, your job, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I read it and I go, that bugs me. Oh, well, next thing. Because I can't, who's got the mind space to care about everything so much? Like, this thing, Noodles, I heard you say about Sheldon Keith not deploying his third line the right way the other night, and they got their teeth handed to them. Okay, so they get a bunch of new players. Are they experimenting too much? Well, you got a bunch of new players. What are you supposed to do?
Right.
When the Rangers got Kane and Panarin, or got Kane, their whole plan was they're going to play him and Panarin together. They did it for 3 days. Gerard Gallant looked at the three games and went, this stinks. And if he wouldn't have experimented, how would he have known? Now they play on different lines. There's no perfect way. And they'll get Keith and every other coach with all these new players after the deadline. They'll get to however they're going to set their lineup with like 5 or 6 or 7 games left. And that'll be it. But there's no panic now.
Well, that's the thing, Ray. Like, we've been talking about this extensively. You look at the best teams in the league, Toronto being one of them, Boston, Jersey, Carolina, Colorado's hot again, Dallas is going to the playoffs. Like, those coaches, these are all seasoned coaches that I'm sure have a pretty good idea of what it's going to look like anyway.
Right.
Like, the experimenting is almost like, if this guy gets hurt, you know, if that guy's not playing that well. But I would assume most coaches have a pretty good idea. It's like day one of camp. They know who's starting opening night. They're pretty certain of who's going to be playing.
If we know about it and the fans know about it, chances are the people that live it 24/7 have probably had it cross their mind.
Yep.
They probably thought, oh, gee, maybe we should sort out our defense pairing. You think they just go into the office and go, hey, who are we going to put together today? Let's throw him with him. Man, it's like it's just not like that. It's just not. And the back to one other thing I wanted to say, when I heard you guys talking about when we came in about, you know, like you can't go anywhere. Did you see that footage of Messi going out to eat?
That was wild in Buenos Aires. Yeah, that was crazy.
Like, who wants to be that? I'd like to be Messi when he made the World Cup winning, you know, had the World Cup winning play or World Cup winning, you know, they won the World Cup this past fall. But then I don't want to be him anymore. Who wants to go out? And the guy went out for a steak, and there's 20,000 people outside the restaurant. It was lunacy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, technology, not to get too heavy, but it's completely changed everything. Like, I'm sure we all grew up.
Right.
You go to a restaurant, you go to New York, you go to a restaurant, you'd see pictures on the wall.
Yeah.
That's how you knew that guy went there. Yeah, that's it. You had to walk in there and say, hey, 14 years ago, Joe Pesci was in here for a
dude, I just did that with my kids in Tampa. I went to an Italian restaurant that I always went to with Ronnie Francis and Sean Hill. And my kids were like, I thought for sure the Italian guy took a picture of me and Ronnie and put it on the wall. And my kids were like, Dad, is your picture up there? I'm like, of course it is. They come back and they're like, no, it isn't. I was so embarrassed. Because it was kind of like, turn back the clock. This is where I used to hang out with my buddies. And they were like, is your picture on the wall? I'm like, of course. Go out there in the hallway. And me and Ronnie are probably sitting right like, right with Stallone
just
or something.
Up, yeah.
They come back and they're like, it's not there.
It got replaced. That's what you go to Vincent's in Long Island. There's not pictures of me and Ray having chicken parm in the 90s. Like, they've replaced it with Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck who've eaten there last week. You know,
it was a slight kick in the pills. I was like, God, that guy never put that up.
Yeah. Or it was
up. It's a good thing, too, because the clothes that we were wearing, nobody needs to see those bloody things.
A shiny suit. Double-breasted.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, you're obviously you're down in Dallas. You're calling Penn Stars tonight on ESPN, and there's a lot of games going on tonight. The Leafs are down in Florida, and I'm curious where you're at with the Leafs. Like, putting the juggling aside, and we're beyond the trade deadline. We've spoken to you since. Just kind of what you think the vibe would be like around the room, knowing you're playing Tampa and you effectively just got to kill time for 3 weeks, or it feels that way.
I think it's kind of hard because the games matter right now, even though they don't really matter because you're going to play Tampa, but you want to play well, but you can't. It almost doesn't matter what you do, except it does, because nobody wants to play themselves into a hole where they don't feel good about their game. So you're trying to play well, but if you win, awesome. And if you don't, well, we got another game in 2 days, because you're not, it's not like somebody from the fourth line is going to play on the first line. Like, you're not losing your spot. It's tough to manufacture, I think, urgency to play, like importance to play. You just can't wait for it to start. You're locked in. If I were Toronto, I'd be looking and go, we're going to win this year. Like, look at how Tampa stumbled around here. Like, is Victor Hedman all of a sudden going to find Victor Hedman game? Well, he might, but it's been a long year for him. Tampa's not the team they were even 2 years ago. Like, they could be beaten. I think Toronto's a good team. Is there goaltending going to hold up? I don't know. I mean, I really, that's the one thing I don't know how anybody would say for sure I believe in Murray and Samsonov over Vasilevsky. I don't know how you could do that, but all it has to do is be good enough, because I think Toronto can win that series.
Ray, we were talking about this kid, Matthew Nyes, and his potential of coming into the lineup, and Joe from the Bridge, who we work with, and his buddies, they think that he's going to be Mark Messier come playoff time.
Right.
How should that be handled? Like, is it just like a wait and see thing? And it's like, if the kid's great, you throw him in the lineup? Or why don't you temper expectations in this market regarding Matthew Nyes joining the Leafs?
Now, I've seen him play, I think, twice. So I'm going to couch it with that. Second thing to that is I see people saying, you know, people that you would think have a sense of things, they're not super fans or whatever, and they're like, oh, I just throw him with Matthews. If you throw him with Matthews, he's playing the other team's best defenseman, as opposed to playing 18-year-old and 19-year-old defenseman that he's playing now. Like, can you imagine? It's going to be like your first day when you're 16 years old and you got, or 18 now, and you got your license and you're by yourself and you pull out onto the highway, and everybody feels like they're going 147 miles an hour. Like, this is an enormous step. And his first couple of games are going to be likely the last couple of the season, and then Tampa. Oh, well, that's an easy step. Like, it's going to be really hard. I'd be very surprised if he makes a meaningful impact, because the pace of the game for a kid like him is going to be the deciding factor of how good he can be. And to come out of college and to hit the ground at the toughest time of the year is going to be a really large step. really large.
With Ray Froehr, TSN, and ESPN hockey analyst, McDavid hit 60 goals last night in 72 games. So he's got 10 more to try. Like, this is where you're always asking for more. I wonder if he ever steps back and goes, can you just let me relax for like a day? You know, now we're yelling about him hitting 70 and 150 points. He's obviously the Hart winner. Is this like the most blatantly unanimous Hart winning season you can recall in the last, you know, decade, 15 years? It just, what this guy's doing every single night is absurd. Like, he's lapping the field, and it's not even close. 5-on-5 now, he's leading the league in points, power play points. The guy's got like 63 power play points or something. It's crazy.
I'd like, you know, so when we vote, I have a vote on that stuff. I don't know if you guys vote or not, but yeah. They've decided to make them public. I'd like to see what guy or girl is going to vote for someone other than McDavid.
Better not happen, like, right?
There'll be somebody that has a chart. I guarantee you there'll be something that's like, not defensively.
Or I'll give you one. Someone in Florida that gives Tkachuk a vote if they get in. Well, I could see that.
I could see that.
I could see it. I can't reason with it.
No, you can't. I'm sorry. This year you can't, Hayes. You cannot do it. You shouldn't be allowed to vote if you do.
It's impossible. It's impossible. Right. He's playing a different sport. Like, I was so pissed he scored that goal last night where he banked it off Ingram's head, because I have the Oilers next Tuesday in Vegas, and I was hoping that he would get his 60th there. And I'm like, nah, once he got the 59th, I'm like, well, that's out the window. Like, of course he's going to score between now and then.
How about the pass from Draisaitl? Like, the first pass. But I thought it was funny, Ray. He almost broke his stick on the boards, like when he missed the initial breakaway. He slashes the boards twice. Like, what if his blade falls off right there? He doesn't get it, because Draisaitl does a good job getting the puck back on the second opportunity. I thought it was hilarious. Like, he was pissed.
What if that pass hits his stick and it just blows the blade right off?
Yeah.
That would have been, it would have been kind of awesome to see it. But I'm watching the game. I'm sure you guys watched last night. And so TNT's got it. And they're talking about, is Connor McDavid going to be on the Mount Rushmore of hockey players? And they said, only if he wins a Stanley Cup. I don't care if he wins or not. This is not a one-guy sport. Like, why would he ever tail off? I don't understand why he would. How could he not be considered one of the greatest players ever to play by the time he's done? Like, I don't care if they win, or it would be great if he did for his legacy and all that. What he's doing is putting himself on a level that other people have never gotten to. If Wayne Gretzky didn't win a cup, would we still call him the greatest player ever? I would. Get 220. I don't know. I don't even know how many points he's got. But it's like, it's what he's doing is just so amazing to watch. I just love watching him play. It's so good.
Ray, if you could fire a couple guys into the ring, like we were talking about yesterday, would Matthew Tkachuk be like one of the runners up? Like, who would be a couple guys? We know he's winning the Hart, but who would you throw in there as like runner up for the Hart?
I know this every time this guy's name gets brought up, it's like but he plays with McDavid. Well, that's fine, but how could you discount Draisaitl?
Mm-hmm.
Like what Matthew Tkachuk for sure, he's having an amazing season. Like he really is. I would probably have McKinnon in that group as well, given the games he's missed and the number of points that he has. It's hard to even, I don't know, don't you think? Oh, it's kind of hard to have a who's next when all I can think of every time I try and think of that is like, oh, wait a minute, it's McDavid. And
Draisaitl's like an interesting call, Ray. I haven't actually heard anyone say that yet. And it's so easy to look past what he's doing because of what Connor is doing. And it's like, it's right under your nose.
Yeah, he's got 110 points.
110 points. Yeah, you know who else? I just pulled this up because I wanted to check. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't way off on it. But David Pastrnak's got 48 goals.
Yeah.
And as much as the Bruins are a team and all that thing, and they really are, they're constructed just in an outstanding way. But I would put Pastrnak in that in that next level group as well. He's had an amazing year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's McDavid clear-cut, then I think Tkachuk, the way the voting works, if Florida gets in. I think Pasternak's there. Kucherov might get some love. Draisaitl. How about the guy you're going to see tonight, though, playing for Pitt? Like, if Crosby continues to play like this and they get in instead of Florida, and he ends up with 35 goals and 100 points, he's averaging 20 minutes a night, this cat is playing at a level that is gross. I mean, he still looks, I wouldn't say it's vintage, Sid, but how far off is it from, like, 2008 Sidney Crosby?
I don't know whatever the percentage is, but, man, Hayes, he's just, like, he's a consistency machine.
Yeah.
Like, he just is, like, it. Every year, you know, you're like, oh, you almost take for granted his greatness, his what he's able to do. Like, the goal he scored last night, there's only one other guy I can think of that would score that goal, and that's Mike Modano in the day. Like, that backhand rocket noodles. I mean, yeah, who else shot it in your time in net? Who else, could anybody else shoot it like what Crosby did last night, or Modano?
Not from the backhand. Like, Modano actually scored a goal in Minnesota like that on me, and Wes Wall skated by and said, "What the hell was that?" Like, I remember in my, like, I'm digging it out of the net, and Walsy was covering him. He goes, "What the hell was that?" And I was like, "I don't know, man." Like, that, I didn't see anything like that. Like, it was a backhand kind of, like, half clapper, and it was almost harder than a slap shot. It was on the back. Like, it was so impressive. I mean, I gave up a ton of goals. That one, I remember the comment after, where Walsy was like, "What the hell was that?"
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just such a weird play.
Pretty good. But
you're right. Modano comes to mind shooting the puck on the backhand like that.
You know who else had a wicked backhand, almost like a backhand slash slap shot, was Paul Kariya.
Oh, yes.
He had this weird, like, slap shot backhander. He would use it on the point and stuff. It was outrageous.
Like, those... That skill is just, I don't even know how you develop it to the level they have it at. It's like Draisaitl's backhand passing. Like, these are the best players in the world, and they stand out on top of all of them. Crosby's now, like, 11 30-goal years. Never think of him as a goal scorer. He's got 11 30-goal years. And that's his third in his 30s that he's got 30 goals. Like, that's pretty good stuff. You know, we keep talking about the game's faster and more skilled, and it is. And Sid's still among the very best. I think he's top 15 in scoring right now for a Penguins team that's kind of falling apart. And, you know, we got this game going tonight. They're hanging by a thread in this playoff race. And I see they just called up Dustin Tokarski and Philip Hallander, a forward. They're on emergency recall. So I think two guys got hurt last night, and, you know, it's got to be something to that effect. They got two guys not available to play tonight. After they flew from Denver to Dallas, like, this is the old good luck game tonight.
No kidding.
Right?
Yeah. Like, no kidding. Oh. Well, it'll be a good one on ESPN tonight. He, of course, is Ray Ferraro. He's calling the game. It's always great catching up with you, buddy, and we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, you bet. Good to talk to you. Noodles, let's get that. Whenever you organize that day, get me on the calendar. I'm your information minister.
Yes.
The no complaining day.
No complaining day.
Yes.
A two-headed monster.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Can't wait to see how that plays out.
Us two grumps are going to be on there. I said no complaining.
Exactly.
Right.
You'll be
it.
Complaining about the execution of the day.
Yes, exactly.
Well.
Which will be rich.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care, guys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our ESPN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. Yeah, it's amazing. Like, there's a chance Pitt misses. Washington's likely going to miss. But, like, Ovechkin passing Gretzky in the amount of times he scored 40. Sid's right behind Gretzky in the amount of times he's had a point per game in a season.
Yeah, there's, like, some pretty...
And then you got McDavid doing what he's doing. You know, the stars are showing up in the NHL. Like, there's no doubt about that.
It's good storylines. Like,
yeah,
it's nice
great.
to watch. You're right. Like, in Washington, it hasn't gone the way they've wanted, but you're still tuning in to see if Ovi can continue to add. And with Crosby, like, man, that's a big win in Colorado. Like, that was a tough game last night watching, and, like, Sid was, like you said, turned the clock back. Like,
absolutely.
That was 08 Sid.
Who was the defenseman that he turned inside out.
It was Girard, was it not?
Yeah, it was Girard.
Yeah.
What was he doing? That was some Sarnia Sting type defending, man. Like, he went inside and Sid went outside.
That was, it was a tough look.
It was not a good look.
That was Hayes and Sarnia.
That was. You get turnstiled and Sid goes shelf from the hash marks on a backhand.
Whenever a D-man gets beat, now we'll just say, you got stung.
You got stung.
Thing is, though, I was expecting the D to look back at the goalie and go, can you just bail me out
give me one, please?
Give me. But that was a rocket.
Yeah. It was kind of like, that was a backhand, but it was like Clutterbuck's goal the other night.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Marner and Riley were probably thinking, can you stop that?
Well, they're just wedging him off. So
don't
that's
bail on me, by the way. We're going to Sarnia for that golf tournament.
Yeah.
They've reached out, right?
Like, yeah, there's been reaching out. Yes, we'll be there, man. We're going to have to
put on a clinic. Who was your GM when you were there?
I honestly don't even remember his name. I don't.
Probably not in the league anymore.
Oh, I'm sure.
What are you talking about? You don't remember the GM?
I do not remember the name of the GM. I was acquired. I was there. I don't even know how long I was there. A couple months.
Didn't the guy call you when he acquired you?
Yeah, I told the story. It was like the trainer was the one that was like, "All right, I'll meet you at the rink."
Mad because he's got to go open the rink for you to get in there.
Yeah,
dude, I'm sorry. That's embarrassing. You don't know who the GM was when you were in Sarnia.
I am telling you.
Joe from the Bridge, look it up.
I could not tell you his name. I could not tell you his name.
Awesome.
All right, Jack's coming in. Some Leaf news here quickly. They're going 11-7. Morgan Riley's not playing tonight, which is interesting. TJ Brody's going in. Luke Shen is back in. But Riley, it sounds like load management, but they didn't play last night. They don't play tomorrow. So
maybe not feeling well.
Maybe he's banged up or something. We'll see if we can get an answer on that. But the Raptors with an awful loss last night. We'll get Jack's take on that in the Sweet 16 getting going starting tonight on TSN. So Jack will be in to discuss that as well. We'll do that with Jack. He'll be in studio next.